So we have verse 8 here at the board, isn't it? But I'll start on text 4. We have three verses without purport. So I'll read them. Iti tushnim stitan daityan vilokya purushottama smayamano Vishri Jagram Pucham Jagraha Samara. Thus the demons remain silent, opposing the desire of the demigods. Seeing the demons and understanding their motive, the personality of Godhead smiled. Without discussion, he immediately accepted their proposal by grasping the tail of the snake, and the demigods followed him. Kritasthana vipagasta evam kashyapanandana mamantu paramang yata amritartam payonidim. After thus adjusting how the snake was to be held, the sons of Kashyapa, both demigods and demons, began their activities, desiring to get nectar by churning the ocean of milk. Matyamane rnave sodrir anadharo yapovishat driyamano pibalibhir gauravat pandunandana. O son of the Pandu dynasty, when Mandara mountain was thus being used as a churning rod in the ocean of milk, it had no support. And therefore, although held by the strong hands of the demigods and demons, it sunk into the water. Te sunirvinna manasa parimlana mukashriya asansva paurushenaste daivenati valiyasa. Because the mountain had been sunk by the strength of providence, the demigods and demons were disappointed, and their faces seemed to shrivel. Vilokya vigyesha vidim tadeshvaro. Ah. Yeah, excuse me, we're in the verse, no? I thought it was another one. So I'll read word by word first. Vilokya vigna ishavidhim tada ishvara durantavirya avitatha avisandhi kridva vapu kachapam adhutam mahat pravishya toyam girim ujjahara viloka vignesha vidhim tadeshvaro duranta viryo vitatha visandhi kridva vapukachapam adhutam mahat pravishya toyam girimujjahara viloka vignesha vidhim tadeshvaro duranta viryo vitatha visandhi kridva vapukachapam adhutam mahat pravishya toyam girimujjahara vilokya vignesha vidhim tadeshvaro duranta viryo vitatha visandhi kridva vapukachapam adhutam mahat pravishya toyam girimujjahara Ladies, Vilokya, please excuse my less than perfect English pronunciation, but Vilokya means observing. Vigna, the obstruction, the sinking of the mountain. Isha Vidhim, by the providential arrangement. Tada, them. Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Durantavirya, inconceivably powerful. Avitatha, infallible. Avisandhi, whose determination. Kridva, expanding. Vapu, body. Kachapam, tortoise. Adbhutam, wonderful. Mahat, very great. Pravishya, entering. Toyam, the water. Girim, the mountain. Mandara. Ujjahara, lifted. Seeing the situation that had been created by the will of the Supreme, the unlimitedly powerful Lord, whose determination is infallible, took the wonderful shape of a tortoise, entered the water, and lifted the great Mandara mountain. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Here is evidence that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is supreme, is the supreme controller of everything. As we have previously described, there are two classes of man, the demons and the demigods, but neither of them are supremely powerful. Everyone has experienced that hindrances are imposed upon us by the supreme power. The demons regard these hindrances as mere accidents or chance, but devotees accept them to be acts of the Supreme Ruler. When faced with hindrances, therefore, devotees pray to the Lord. Tatenu kampam susamikshamana bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Devotees endure hindrances, accepting them to be caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and regarding them as benedictions. Demons, however, being unable to understand the Supreme Controller, regard such hindrances as accidental. Here, of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present personally. It was by His will that there was hindrances, and by His will, those hindrances were removed. The Lord appeared as a tortoise to support the great mountain. Kshitiriha bupalatare tava tishtati prishte. The Lord held the great mountain on His back Keshavatrita, Kurma Sharira, Jai Jagadisha Hare. Dangers can be created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they can also be removed by Him. This is known to devotees, but demons cannot understand it. Viloka, Vignesha, Vidhim, Tadeshvaro, Duranta, Viryo, Vitata, Visandhi, Kridvabapu, Kachapamad, Bhutam Mahat, Pravishatoyam, Girimu, Jahara. Seeing the situation that had been created by the will of the Supreme, the unlimited powerful Lord, whose determination is infallible, took the wonderful shape of a tortoise, entered the water, and lifted the great Mandara mountain. Magyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prishtaya Vitale Shimate Bhakti Vidanta Swamini Tinamene Namaste Sarasvata Devi Gurabhani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Shatarine. I know we many times say this, but I can't avoid saying that I feel not fit to be sitting where I am sitting right now in front of my senior proper disciples, senior devotees. And not only that, but speaking Bhagavatam before other guests who are my senior. As a matter of duty being asked, I do so. But knowing that you're all very loving, I ask for your blessings to be able to say something. So here we have one of those beautiful pastimes of the Lord. All pastimes of the Lord are beautiful, but we conditioned souls generally tend to be more attracted to those pastimes in which Krishna smiles. In the verse, the first verse, first or second verse that I read, the first one, it says that seeing the attitude of the demons, Lord Vishnu smiled. We generally tend to like those pastimes in which the Lord smiles, of course, but we generally prefer those pastimes in which the Lord smiles against the ones in which he roars, for instance, no? Or in which he takes another attitude. Conditioned souls, at least the devotees, even devotees, or in this categorization, this classification of demons and devotees, at least those people who are pious feel more attracted to these pastimes of the Lord. I tried, it doesn't. More? It's good here? I think that also will help. Thank you, Maharaj. So we conditioned soul, at least I remember that being grown and having grown in a kind of pious atmosphere, I used to have that preference, no, of God being someone who smiles and who's kind against his other aspects sometimes that he shows, in which he has to show some anger, but at least, as I was saying, pious people or people with some pious background prefer that. Impious people, demons, they prefer the energy of the Lord instead of his roaring pastimes. Or even atheists, they prefer no God instead of his roaring or even his smiling face. Even the smiling face of the Lord creates a bad feeling in a demon. So, as we know, we have heard this many times, this clear separation between demons and demigods that happened at those times of yore, as we were reading the other day, is not that clear. We have read that in previous ages, the demons and demigods were living in separate areas of the universe, then closer, same planets, then closer in the same houses, same dynasties, same families, and then in Kali Yuga. These two tendencies, the devotee and demon, are living in one place, in the same body. So we do have this tendency to prefer that those aspects, that attitude of the Lord in which he's loving, he's smiling. Here, why did he smile? Why was Krishna smiling here? We read the other day that what happened is that the demons noticed that Krishna or Vishnu and the devotees, the demigods, took hold of one side of the snake. Krishna preferred to take the front side, the mouth, the head, because it was more dangerous. So actually, he was doing it as an act of mercy towards the demons. Because if something happened with Vasuki, that, you know, he was his god, so he could take care of that. But the demon said, hey, I mean, why are they there? We should be there. He's taking the better position, so they retaliated. No? And they said, no, we want to be there. And then the Lord smiled, okay, you take it, you know, and you'll deal with that, whatever happens. And then he smiled, and he and the demons went, he and the demigods went to the other side, to the tail, to the safe side. And we as people who have these two tendencies, this demon and devotee tendency, this demon and demigod tendency, we very often take that same attitude towards what Krishna plans for us. We have, by nature, a tendency to not accept what Krishna is, out of his mercy, giving us for our benefit. So, we can understand why Srila Prabhupada repeatedly speaks about this society with saying that it's a demonic society. Why is it a demonic society? Because it teaches all of us an attitude of not accepting what we get by destiny or by our own karma and by the sweet will of the Lord. Especially in countries like America or Europe, where I come from one of the most materialistic cities in one of the many materialistic cities in Europe, in which we all are very proud. You know, this is also kind of it's a strong influence here in America also. You know, we're self-made people. You know, we know what is good for us, and we are always convinced that our position is the right one. And when we have to face other situations that the Lord, those hindrances that the Lord puts us in, then we take that attitude of, what do you say in English, retaliation, or not accepting it, not wanting to accept it. We know better. We're trained to think that we know better. As I say, especially in this culture, this is Well, we were born in this culture for some reason, so we have it from the past, but we're constantly told that we can make our future and that we are right. And this also happens we carry it in our devotional, our spiritual life. We many times tend to think that we're right and that others are wrong. And I'm sure that you all went through that. Some may be going it right now, but we all went through that when we joined. We always said, I remember that Bhakta who had joined, I think, like 2 weeks before I did, no? And you know, he knew better. So he was the one who was going to teach me because he knew it all. You know, he was senior. He was 2 weeks senior. And probably we did the same thing with others. Most probably we did that because that's our tendency. We know better. You know, we and, okay, same thing. 35 years later, you know, I think I know better, you know, the one who came 3 years later. Or even that one who came a little earlier, but, you know, when you grow, difference is less. So we know we have that tendency to think that we're right. Of course, the Lord smiles, seeing, and he allows us to go on so that we face the result of that. But we have that tendency. Of course, that doesn't mean that nothing that we think is the right thing. No? Also, as I said, it's not that Krishna always smiles. Krishna sometimes is strong. It's not that Srila Prabhupada always smiled. He was also strong. He showed us that sometimes we have to be strong on things that have to be done properly. I was remembering yesterday that it was here. I don't know if it was that table, but it was here when Prabhupada just hit, you know, beat the table. He was discussing something about paintings. And he, you know, he was really angry, really upset. Of course, we're not going to compare ourselves with him, but as an example that sometimes we also have to stand and say, no, this is the right thing. But that has its risks. It has its risks. The risk is that we may be confused about the reality of things, and we may not be right. We may not be right. And that's the advantage of association. And that's the importance of association. That's how essential association is. We have sometimes to accept that we may not be right, because without the devotees, we you know, contrast, we say, we contrast our opinion with others, and others may think differently, and we may have to accept. So it's always, at least for me, has always been a challenge, and I think it's an art, and it's a science, and it's something that we have to learn, how to just not just let things go and let everything in the hands of God, and, you know, he will do it. Sometimes we have to be strong and draw the line. But other times we have to understand that, you know, it may be our line. It's not exactly Krishna's line. And that's a challenge. Huh? It's a challenge. I remember that one of the things that most attracted me to try to become a devotee was similar occurrence. I remember it was very young. I was in the temple maybe for 2 weeks. I was there already for 2 weeks, so I knew a lot. But the sannyasi who was in Spain at that time, he was... we were at the temple, and he was speaking to me. He was, you know, I was new. He was trying to encourage me and all that and inspire me. And then something happened, and he suddenly was so upset and angry to Vandavada. I don't know exactly what happened, but the devotee had made a mistake like for 4 or 5 times in regards to guests. It was something important, so he got very angry. And after being very angry, he came back to me and he was very peaceful, very, very calm. And he was again. And so I saw that he had that control on his emotions. And I said, wow, I want to be like that. You know, I want to be able to, you know, to understand how to apply, you know, my... you know, when I have to draw the line and when I just have to. So I think this is a challenge that, at least for me, it's a challenge. I think it's a common challenge to gradually learn how to be flexible and understand that sometimes we hold to opinions that may not be the best, and that we do, that we can do with the association of other devotees. And when that, when we do not take that association of devotees as a check and balance for our opinions, then we are at risk. And we have seen it. We have seen it in our own lives, and we have seen it in so many devotees, whatever they were on, in their path. You know? I mean, we have seen devotees very dedicated, very exalted, very worshipped because of what they were doing, and because of not taking that check and balance of their opinion with others, they're now, you know, on the waiting, so to say, no? They're inactive temporarily in their spiritual life because that lesson wasn't there. So it's a warning for all of us. And all this Krishna, Prabhupada says here that Krishna will put us in so many, will create so many hindrances, Prabhupada says here. No? He will create so many obstacles. He will put us in so many perplexing situations, no? As Prabhupada mentions in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was perplexed, in perplexing situations in which we have to show Krishna that, yes, we're ready to follow you. Probably the first tendency of the demigods, when the demon said, hey, no, we want to be the front, we want to take the head. I'm sure that some of the demigods said, hey, wait a minute here, let's fight for it. Huh? Because, but what he says here, what Prabhupada says here is that, what is that? That they just followed him. They didn't have, the end, they all followed him. So they had, what did they have? They had confidence. They had confidence that following the Lord, even if they, their tendency would have been to fight with them, following the Lord was the right thing to do. So, and this is where we have to try to see also. Prabhupada says here that it was very easy here because Krishna was present. the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present here, so everything was more clear. When we cannot see the presence of the Lord everywhere, in spite of Him being there, but when we cannot see Him, then it's more difficult for us to make the right choice. And for that we need, again, to contrast our opinion with other devotees. And then gradually, with the help of these devotees, of the devotees, we learn more and more what the will of the Lord is, and we become more and more in tune with what His will is. And in this way, we will be able to get closer and closer to Him. As we see here, the same smile of Krishna is a benediction for the devotees. And for the demons, it was like, okay, you get what you want. Today, Svavasprabhu was reading in the purport this morning about the, what was it? Prabhupada said that the Krishna and the devotees exchange loving affection, and that for the demons, Krishna is Atmaram. So he doesn't need, for the monists, then he explains, he doesn't need, in one sense, he doesn't need that relationship to be Atmaram, to be complete, to be happy. If we are willing, he's also willing to establish a very close, affectionate relationship. But if not, he's fine. I mean, he's happy anyway, as he's happy. At the same time, we also know that, because Krishna is like this, he's also not completely happy with our attitude of not wanting to accept him and serve him. His happiness in himself, but he's not happy about us. And that's why he organizes all these interesting situations to somehow or other correct us. But what is a fact is that if we learn the art of trusting him, if we learn the art of Krishna consciousness, of being more conscious of Krishna's presence in our life, and through the association of the devotees, we become more purified and we see more clearly what the will of the Lord is, we will get more and more His loving smile, and we will be able to enjoy also with Him in His pastimes, and we will have more fun. For instance, because Krishna is doing all this in one sense just for His own fun. Actually, part of this pastime is that He wanted to scratch His back, no? Which is, of course, we can scratch, you know, other parts, but just scratching the back, even with four arms, it must be not easy, you know. So he devised this whole thing, you know, the mountain and the demigods and the demons, because he, you know, he wanted to scratch his back. So we can, with due purification and surrender, we can enter more and more his pastimes. But again, for this we have to accept all these hindrances, as Prabhupada says, as benedictions, to learn the art of developing full confidence in the Lord, that whatever happens in our life, whatever, and some of the hindrances are really bitter in our lives. And we sometimes, I mean, we all know. Prabhupada starts by saying, as everyone has experienced, that hindrances are imposed upon us. We all know. From an objective point of view, some hindrances may be more dramatic than others, but for the one who goes through it, it's just like unbearable. But if we develop that trust, that confidence, that whatever the Lord is giving us is His benediction, then we will be able to accept that and then see why He was doing that for our own benefit. And because whatever He does, bitter or sweet, smile or roaring, or whatever He does, it's for our ultimate benefit. So we, with the association of the Buddhists, we can learn this more and more and slowly, as I said, come closer to the stage in which we can serve the Lord more closer in His pastimes. If you have any questions or comments, please, this is the time. And if not, okay.
This past time, I'm sorry. It just seems like there's so much impediment here.
So
that impediment, there's so much blockage to the fulfillment of the desires of the demons and the demigods. You know, they've kind of made a truce, right, so that they can churn. But there's still, it's still a material desire. They want to get the amrit, the nectar, to be immortal or whatever, right? So, but this, you know, you remember what happened. I mean, they had to, how are they going to churn? Okay, we'll use the mountain. So they carry the mountain, and they can't carry the mountain. So they break their legs, you know. So Krishna comes and He carries the mountain for them. All right, so without thinking, I mean, it's pretty dumb to take this big mountain and try to churn the ocean, and it's going to sink, of course. Oh, okay, what do we do now? Oh, kurma comes. So they churn them. And then what happens? Poison comes. You know, the big problem. So it's one thing after another. And then finally, when the nectar comes, it's another problem, because how are we going to divide the nectar? And so Mohini comes and cheats the demons. It's just one thing after another. So, but Krishna's there at every step. You know, you see that. So it seems like there's all these lessons along the way that, you know, if we have a material desire, you know, we may think that we're achieving it, but we're also trying to be devotees, of course. Then there's going to be so much trouble and so much problem, and Krishna's going to teach us, you know, sometimes with a stick. That seems to be part of the lesson here. I don't know if that's just off the wall or what, but just thinking about the whole pastime, the way it develops. And even at the end there, Lord Shiva, you know, he has his embarrassment with Mohini Murti. There's all kinds of parts of this pastime that are interwoven. It's not just straight bhakti going on here. There's a lot of things mixed in.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, the way, of course, the way the Lord has programmed all of this for the benefit of each one of us is just inconceivable. But we, because, okay, here we're talking about groups of people, but actually those group of people are made by individuals. And each individual has its own relationship with Krishna, and same here and same everywhere. So, yeah, it's interesting what you say, because Krishna is constantly responding to our willingness or unwillingness or stubbornness or whatever, constantly. And I mean, coming from a scientific and quantic computers and all that. You know, I always find it. Amazing how, because it's not that the whole script is written. It's not that everything is written in our lives and things are going to be exactly, you know, already written. And it's not like a drama that, you know, we're just puppets and we have our free will at every step, every second. All of us. Millions and millions of people. But still, the way Krishna does things, he runs a program, so to say, that readjusts constantly according to the response of each one of us for our own benefit, for our good. So as you were saying here, he's responding, you know, to always trying to do the things in a way that benefits everybody. Although the demons may not feel like that, but it does benefit everybody constantly, all the time responding to our material desires. Of course, it would be easier for him to be just surrounded by loving people who are always doing what he wants, but since many of us do not want, he also comes here and readjusts this program constantly, you know, all the time. And he chooses to act. He chooses to act and readjust. We can see it, as you were saying, in a cosmic demigod and demons way. But in our lives also, he's constantly. And that's what Prabhupada tells us in the purport. The demons do not want to see it. Our demonic tendency is not to see it and think that this is chance. Prabhupada says here, we want to think that it is what accidents or chance. There's no hand of the Lord behind anything. And that's our demonic background or upbringing. We have that tendency, very strong. And the society pushes us to think like that. So the simple reality of Krishna consciousness is very difficult for us to understand that Krishna is behind everything that happens in our lives. If we oppose and if we are stubborn, he just smiles and, you know, leaves us with a material nature. But if we take a little step towards him, he does take care of everything in our lives. And this is also something that we learn in association of devotees, to see that whatever happens, why did I have to sit here today? I don't know. I mean, it's not the most comfortable thing for me. But anyway, it's probably some lesson I needed to hear what you said and other things. So there's always, Krishna's always guiding us. He's always holding our hand and bringing us towards him. And he's doing it for everybody. He's doing it for everybody. With some people who don't want to feel that proximity, he puts something in between. It's his own energy, but he uses that so that they feel comfortable, still for their own benefit. And then even that huge drama that he created is just, you know, a little piece of the huge drama that he is running for each one of us. He puts us in so many, he brings so many hindrances in our lives so that we, as I was saying, that we slowly become more, we develop trust in him, more confidence in him, more consciousness of his presence in our lives, and in this way we get closer to him. Yes, poof, my God, we start there. Prabhu?
Hi, Krishna.
Oh, here? Okay.
You've touched on a very important point about cooperation. I mean, if we look at the international political scene, it's amazing that the United States has not fallen into the Iraqi mood, because there's so many strong opinions on just about everything, abortion, gun issues, foreign policy, etc. But yet, it's one of the few countries in the world where people can have very, very strong opposing opinions and the country remains together. How do we apply that to our society? Because we see the tendencies there in our society where, yes, we have issues with very strong feelings on both sides, you know. You name anything, the books, this, that. How do we keep it together that we don't become Iraq? We remain like America, where you can have very strong opinions and still stay together as a society. Because it's a very real danger. It's a very real danger. We see already what's happening, especially I can't even imagine what's going to happen when all the proper disciples are gone, how many camps there are that are going to form. It's just, you can see it already. So how do we hold it together more like the United States of America and not become like Iraq or Afghanistan, where every little thing that divides you, okay, we start shooting at each other and, you know, it just, everything falls apart.
Yeah, so when I read the verses and the purport this morning, I was also thinking about this, the cooperation, and especially for Kali Yuga people as we are, it's very difficult. Cooperation is very difficult. I wish you all the best. We never know how long it will last, this cooperation in the United States. We wish. But we know in Europe, for instance, is the, you know, the land of division. You know, I live in a country, you know, but I should be from another country because my part of that country should be free, you know. I'm Catalan, I'm not Spanish actually. So this kind of stuff, these kind of things. So yes, there's a strong influence in our just as conditioned souls, but especially in Kali Yuga, for confrontation. It's strong, very strong. How to tame that for the good of the mission? No? That's more or less your question. And how to endeavor to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire, no? of being able to work together and show our love for him, working together for the mission. And at the same time, we do not have to just become one, only one opinion. So I think that there's a frame. No? There's a frame. I think that it's important for all of us to live together with people who think very differently from us. First of all, it's unavoidable. But second, it's important. I remember that Braj Bihari used to give a seminar called Pizzas or Pakoras. Pizzas or Pakoras, referring to pizzas the liberals and pakoras the conservative. No? We all need each other. There's always an element, there's always an important element of trying to I don't know how to say it in English. There's always for instance, you were just giving a little example about the books. No? There's a danger. There is a danger. A danger. There is actually there are two dangers here. One of the groups of the strategic planning team in the GDC were talking about or were studying what nowadays is called polarity management, you know. And what happens is that, for instance, in the matter of editing Srila Prabhupada's books, there is there would be a danger of going too far and started changing things that should not be changed. So that fear, the fear in itself, is not bad. And there is a fear, I don't know, it's always difficult to identify the fear of the by one who is in one position. No one is in no position here. So, but there's a fear of not of being so stuck that we cannot improve, you know, or bring the books closer to Srila Prabhupada, what Srila Prabhupada actually said, because there's all these things that were not exactly written as they should have. Okay, so but those fears are the what makes us leads to confrontation. We position ourselves in the what we think is the solution to that fear that we feel. And when we start becoming confrontational, you say like that? Confrontational, then we start thinking, yes, we are right and he's wrong. And it's not what I was trying to say also is not, and what I think that what Krishna is telling us here is, it's not that easy. There's many ways to see the things, and both are can be used. Krishna used, I mean, he said, okay, you go and take the mouth. That's not the important thing. The important thing here is that we're going to churn the ocean and we're going to have some results. We're going to have poison first, but then we, you know, we're going to get the nectar, which is what you want. So this, the problem is when we, how you say, that means it's time or what? When we entrench, you say in English, we entrench ourselves in a position and we're not ready to move from there, then we may start being in trouble and give trouble to others. And how to solve that? How to solve that? Usually we need the help of people who can be more flexible and who can understand the reasons behind all the parties and try to help them decrease the temperature and calm down and see the reasons why the other person is doing this and the reasons why, you know, and we have to do it. If we really want to show Srila Prabhupada the love we have for him and we're going to cooperate together, we have to start understanding each other, you know. As I was saying, Raj Bihari had that seminar, Pizzas and Pakoras, and I think that all of us, we can more or less situate ourselves into a more liberal presentation of Krishna consciousness or more conservative, but should we be fighting about it? Or no? But we do fight. And when we start fighting about this, then what does the Lord do? He smiles. In one sense, he smiles. In another sense, another aspect of his personality, he feels sad because we're not advancing and we're not helping others advance. We're losing a lot of time and we are falling prey of Maya, who puts obstacles in the mission. You know? So we should... I don't know, I don't have the solution. If I had it, I would have already implemented that. But I think that we need people who can, we need people, and we do have people who can run both or go through both waters, you know, and can understand and can help calm down and help everybody to be more flexible. The problem is that we are always, as is that Sanskrit saying, we always think that we are objective. We constantly, always when we speak, we say, if you look at this objectively, which means the way I see it. Why? Because, I've discussed this with Raj Bihari, there is in this science of mediation and all that, there is what it's called naive objectivity, they call it. I mean, we really think we're objective. We're convinced that we're objective. And not only that, but we think that if you do not agree with me, it can be for different reasons. First, because you do not have enough information. Because if you had enough information, you would agree with me, because I'm objective. Or, there's a third one, but I don't remember, but the last one is, or you have ill motivations. Or you have ill motivations, or you don't know, or you cannot think straight, or something wrong is happening with you, because, no? So that's what, and then we become very entrenched. So we shouldn't, and that's what I was trying to explain also with this association. We have to put ourselves, you know, in front of other opinions and try to contrast our opinions. And many times we have to say, okay, I thought I was right. Let's go that way and see what happens. Well, in certain aspects. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu. I really appreciate Dravida and Archer Prabhu's comments and questions, and your response is very nice. What comes to mind is how Prabhupada was such the supreme example in this case, and remembering so many experiences devotees had with Srila Prabhupada, and how he was like Krishna, able to deal with so many of his disciples with so many different mentalities, and yet somehow, you know, satisfy them and pacify them, but, you know, get the right job done at the same time. And one specific example comes to mind where, I don't remember what it was, but some devotee was living in New Vrindavan, and the devotees in general, I think, were a little upset with the management there. It may have been Hayagriva, someone who was in charge. So we went to see Prabhupada with this, you know, paramount in his consciousness that, you know, he wanted to complain about the leader and have Prabhupada, you know, possibly make some adjustment. And so as soon as he offered his obeisances in Prabhupada's presence, before he could say anything, Prabhupada immediately said, "So how is our Hayagriva doing?" And the devotee immediately, you know, in feeling Prabhupada's attitude toward the whole thing, you know, completely gave up his, you know, intention of telling Prabhupada, and just realized by Srila Prabhupada's own, you know, purity, you know, how he should deal with this situation within his heart. So I just wanted to, you know,
Thank you. Yeah, his... And therefore, an answer or another aspect of the answer to Archita Prabhu's question would be that we need to also put Prabhupada more in the center and get closer to him, you know, and see how he would be doing things. Of course, he had he also had the authority, you know, but still he's still there. The one of the problems is that our own perception of what Prabhupada would be doing is different, because sometimes he acted like that and sometimes he acted in another way. No? Also. So that's also a difficulty for us, you know. At the same time, as I said, I think that one of the keys here would be that we have to develop a deep respect for the other devotees in general. In this confrontational situations, why did the demigods and the demons agree? Because they had a common goal. No? But it's not that they respected each other. We have to come to respect each other deeply. And what I was saying before about this naive objectivism, is that we, when someone doesn't agree with us, and if we think that that person has enough information and still doesn't agree with us, what do we think? We think that that person has ill motivations. And that's what we always think of other people who do not agree with us. They must have some motivation. And that's a lack of respect, because then we think that that devotee is not trying to please Prabhupada or not trying to please Krishna. And who are we? Okay, some extreme case, but we do not have that many demons as in that those ages. You know, there's not that many demons. Most devotees are giving the best they have. And sometimes it comes in a palatable way, and sometimes it comes in another way. But our tendency, maybe, at least for me, is to start lacking the respect and questioning their good motivation to serve Srila Prabhupada, to serve Krishna. And that's and when we do that, somehow or other we disconnect ourselves from Krishna, because Krishna is not feeling like that. Prabhupada is not feeling like that, as you were saying. Prabhupada might be very strong to help, but he would never cut. He would never cut, and we do cut a lot of our relationship with others by this lack of respect to others. Okay, we're over time. There was some other question, I'm sorry. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. It's not mine.